Hello, everyone. Welcome to 99% Effective. Hi, George.
Hey, Tisha. How are you?
Good. How's your summer going?
So far, so good. It has certainly gotten much warmer over the last few weeks. That's for sure.
Yes, it has. How was your 4th of July?
It was good. It was good. It was nice to have, you know, the extra day off, get out there and enjoy the weather. We made it to the beach for the first time this year, so that's really nice. Nice. Yeah, I think it's, you know, that's the part about summer is that it goes so fast. And so trying to schedule out your days of visiting people, and if you're doing any travel this year, now that we're really kind of starting to travel again, it'll be nice, but also kind of really enjoying the weather, the good weather that we have around here in Connecticut.
I feel like the weather, knock on wood, has been a great summer weather so far. I want to say the last two summers, Memorial Day wasn't good, 4th of July wasn't good. Like, I think we're having some good weather, so I think that makes everyone happy.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it kind of perfectly aligns kind of with our podcast today, because again, with all the traveling that we're doing, you know, it's really going to be good for what are you doing and how are you getting out there into the community?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I'm so excited today. We have Andrew Arbo. Am I saying that right, Andrew?
Yes.
Okay. So a little bit about Andrew. Andrew is the founder of Driving with Autism, which is a paid driver readiness webinar series that helps people obtain their license in all 50 states. And we're going to be talking about that today, but a little bit more about Andrew, because he really is a remarkable person. Andrew is also the director of community outreach with Planning Across the Spectrum, where he reaches out to various autism and disability organizations to start collaborations on empowering the community. I love that. Andrew graduated from Manchester Community College with an associate's degree as a disability specialist, and he's currently attending Charter Oak State School to get his bachelor's degree in psychology. That's amazing. Andrew found his path because of his experience as an autistic adult. Andrew believes having people learn about self-help can make a major difference in their lives. When Andrew is not working, he likes to take walks, iced coffee, and gaming. So I got to ask you, Andrew, I'm a big walker too. It's like my self-help totally relaxes me. Mm-hmm. And I like iced coffee. It's got to be decaf. Do you like flavored iced coffee or just regular iced coffee?
What I get on the iced coffee side is usually sugar-free. I have a brand I really like, Super Coffee. Mm-hmm. A little bit of protein. But there was also another one. It's kind of like organic. It was like a big container. Best to describe it, if you go in a Stop and Shop, they have it in a certain section. They have like all the big, like the Dunkin'.
Oh, I know
stuff.
What you're talking about. Yep.
There was one that's kind of organic and it's unsweetened. So I've been having that lately. It's actually tends up cost effective when just getting five of the little cans.
Yes.
Because look at that, it'd be like $3 and also I can control the amount. But but if I were to grab something like really but kind of special, I grab something from either Nez or Beans, whatever I'm in the mood for, or I happen to be in the area for, both wonderful coffee shops.
Nice. In Connecticut. So we're going to get right into it because this is a great topic that I think our listeners are going to really appreciate. So right off the bat, what made you create Driving with Autism?
Yeah, this is my own personal experiences, but wanting to make things better in Connecticut. Transportation is all over the place, like a lot of auctions, like Southside Connecticut. I was actually chatting this over at the Handout Spot actually today. I did a Facebook Live over there in the morning, like in the last hour or so. I was worried that it might go on for too long, but it went for like a really nice pace. Yeah, I talked about how in the Southside Connecticut, like they're in the Fairfield-ish side and there's a lot of trains, a little bit of buses. Mm-hmm. Like there's a bit more of that transportation kick over there. But if you go in the more of the west side, excluding Danbury, since Danbury has a bunch over there. If you go to Richfield or the east side of Connecticut, there's not a lot, and you're kind of forced to drive. You're forced to drive over there. And there's a lot of, it's just also just inconsistent resources. I'm trying not to badmouth Connecticut and a Connecticut-based podcast, but I probably have to. There's not a lot, and a lot of these special education conferences and workshops, also autism ones too, a lot of it, I didn't see a lot on driving, so I was watching. So I was, like, observing it. And also because I was during my, during when I was going to MCC, it's like, I don't see driving. It's like, why in the world am I here? Like, why am I here? I'm, like, I'm not learning anything I already know, because I already used buses before I drive. Mm-hmm. Been using buses for, like, a couple years. So it's like, there's just not, like, a conversation or discussion that And also add to the external barriers. I kind of go over it in the one of the webinar topics. More days should also go over the barriers of driving, go over the internal and the external. A lot of external on terms of just state and local resources. And then eventually I want to catch up, but I kind of want to kind of go up. So it took a lot of, to have a lot of headbutting and trying to figure a lot of solutions out. And I was able to get my license 2018. I decided to do a presentation on my experiences, because if no one's going to do it, why not be me? I did a presentation with Connecticut Family Support Network. Had 30 people show up. It was back in 2019. Went lovely. Got myself involved with a local driving school on their autism program. Left a year ago to kind of start driving with autism. So kind of here I am. And it's been 7 months since I started my online business.
You answered my next question, that it's an online course. And also, I just learned this from you the other day when you sent me your bio, that it's in all 50 states. So you're advertising this nationwide.
Pretty much. And I don't go over state walls, because that's more of a new drivers and parents mm-hmm. to figure out. And if I try to go for that, by the time I'd be doing the live series, it's a live series. It was every Thursday at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. My brain would be fried if I were to try to do all 50 states. So why I tackle that, since I don't know if that was your next question or maybe, but the live webinar series, it's all live. I recently actually completed one for the summertime, and I'm looking into the fall time. Well, heads up, expect an announcement on Tuesday on the social media pages. I got an exciting thing coming up. It's a 7-part webinar series. It's all driver readiness, and a main function just goes over the expectations of driving. And also it covers a lot of topics that schools don't really cover. Like sensory needs is a big one. Police interactions is another noticeable one. And I also kind of go over the parent perspective. Like the parent, like I do talk about the parent side. And I kind of go over again those barriers again and how they kind of affected my dad and how he kind of handled that. And I also kind of go over kind of how to kind of break down those barriers and let parents be supportive. So I try to tackle kind of like a wide audience. Like mm-hmm. starts from teenagers to lifespan. It's mostly for new drivers. I do have the parents one. I do go over very, very beef IEP basics, and that one, a lot of the information is kind of meant to be shared, while adults may not get a lot from the IEP stuff, but it's still kind of good information to share to other people, so parents won't have to be in the dark.
You mentioned your dad, so that is one of my questions. So what if someone's parents are not accepting them getting their driver's license and driving on their own? You know, what advice do you have? Because I understand parents and caregivers are going to be worried.
Absolutely, with so many different ones. And driving is a very gray area, because sometimes you have to kind of go over a vehicle in case if they're like a bus, not like a school bus, mind you, but it's like, let's say a public CD transit bus, and it's pulled over and it's not like, and then it's not clearly moving back to the load because it's kind of picking someone up. And especially if you're in certain areas, let's say Hartford, where you kind of have to play around with a lot of those options, sometimes you can't just wait for the bus to do its thing because you have a lot of vehicles behind you. It's like, it was a lot of just those gray ones that I like to kind of go over. Mm-hmm. Autism does affect that, and it varies for a lot of people. And legitimate concerns too, so it was just a lot of gray areas and kind of how a lot of that kind of intercept, a lot of the nuances to that, they can add more to how parents can look at. So my dad was very anxious. He was anxious from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it took a very long time of just kind of finding what works. And that's kind of why I have a parent section on the Driving with Autism page. Again, we do, teenagers is definitely on the preferred side, but again, people go different ages. And I wouldn't be surprised if I get older adults in the near future that maybe some of them are just recently diagnosed or they just want to learn more about that. If you want a lot of resources, Driving with Autism is the best spot to go to for that one. And we're also taking ADHD and other disabilities too, depending on each ones. And mm-hmm. for the non-autism populations, what I do webinar series is I would not dare to speak over anyone. I don't have ADHD, so mm-hmm. and I always like to be transparent with my intentions.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of parents, and some of the, you know, your father was anxious. I know even with myself, when my son was in the process, he was 18. We waited a couple of years for him to get his license. What advice do you have for someone that may get pulled over by the police?
Oh, that's a really good one, because that's another topic I actually cover in the 7-part webinar series. Police interactions and strategies, because because of the news covers a lot of interactions, there was a lot of controversy, a lot of perspectives and just misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. Officers not being entirely being trained. It also depends on their budgeting. Mm-hmm. Depends on just budgeting of their departments. And again, it varies in each town. Not every town has like a little initiative. So I kind of made that so drivers can know what to semi-expect and some strategies. Yeah, I mean, it can be simple strategies, like kind of previewing your steps, telling the officer what you're doing while you're in the car. Because again, they're trained to do life and death like situations. If I just do this randomly, the officer may take that as something else. So that's kind of one of the strategies I talk about, letting the officer know, because that relieves some of that anxiety.
So basically, you're saying if the police officer comes up to the car and says license and registration, you say, okay, I'm going to reach over and get my license and registration.
Yeah, just go be more specific, like going pockets, like your right side pocket. That's one of the best, things that you could say.
Now, do you say right away that you have a disability? Do you suggest that?
I kind of leave it up to the person, honestly. I always like the person for personal choice. Mm-hmm. And I know not everyone's comfortable with that because people have a lot of different takes on autism. And you can clearly see that if you go on a lot of online communities. So, and I kind of mentioned that it's really more of a personal decision. Like for myself, I don't use a blue envelope in Connecticut. I don't use that. I don't even have that in my car.
Yeah, the and blue envelope is, can you explain that really quick? Because not everyone may know
what just
that
like
is.
It's a state, kind of like a little blue envelope that tells, that you give the officer that has some autism information, that tells someone that they're autistic. And just like a little heads up for any emergency staff that there's a person inside that's autistic. In a nutshell, I don't really use that. I think the only reason I had it was I did a video with Southern Connecticut for a policing video I was part of a year ago. I don't know if I still have it. I'm pretty sure I do, but I barely use it. Just my personal preference. Personal choices, leaving it up to them. Like, I even go over disclosing, because disclosing is another big can of worms of people who want to reveal they're autistic. Because, again, not everyone wants to. I suggest for those that are uncomfortable or they want to mention sensory, just kind of mention selective disclosing. You don't really mention autism, but you just mention sensory. Or something that's realistic, because, well, police can't take everything off. Especially at nighttime, like imagine taking off the lights. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So it has to be kind of something that makes sense and realistic.
So I know George has some questions, but I have one last one for you. If somebody is going to take the written test, can they ask for accommodations?
Funny enough, I kind of submitted a blog post for the near future on DMV, so... That's something people should expect in the blog page. We have a blog page that goes over that, along with a free to download ebook that also kind of goes over permit and the little test and that free to download document. I always suggest call the DMV in advance. You don't know.
No, I mean, I think we're going in the right direction. Yeah.
But it's like, definitely call. And just know that parents cannot be with the person while the test. I heard some stories where parents, they try to be in the same test, except that causes a lot more trouble when it really needs to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard stories that I don't know about the three of you, not sure, but it's just a couple stories I hear, and it's something that's kind of counterproductive, because a new driver's obviously just going to be doing the test, and they have to focus on said test, multiple choice, right. And it's like, get 5-1, they kind of kicks you out. So they really don't need the extra person kind of walking in and disrupting a bunch of things. Just something I wanted to highlight. It's something I touched upon on the blog too. Something I've heard a couple times over the last few years.
Yeah, and it sounds like, Andrew, with your blog, you know, you really can kind of get into some of those experiences that people share with you when they go to the DMV. Because I think that when any of us go to the DMV, it's not our favorite experience. But if people can become aware of some of the things that they should know before they go to the DMV and how to prepare themselves, it sounds like you're putting them in a place that's really going to be good for them. So, I mean, one of the things I'm curious about, you know, because it's a webinar series and it is something where people can access it in other states, are there some helpful hints or places that you typically will tell people to go if they need a resource outside of the webinar series?
That's a good one. Actually, that's one of the perks when you sign up for two of our packages. We have one that's the basic plan that comes with the classes and a couple resources, and we have another, the premium services that comes with not just classes, additional resources, and you get a free 60-minute consultation with me. And that's like one of the things. And then a perk that exists no matter what package you choose is after they complete the series, I connect with them. I just set up a time just to go over local resources. So if they were in, I don't know, Central Connecticut, I kind of go over what is nearby in their Central Connecticut area.
Yeah. And are you finding with everybody kind of being home more that there's been more of a need for this type of support where they can go onto a webinar and really prepare themselves before they take the driving test or before they go down that path to get their license?
And that's kind of one of my intentions, to kind of make it that, yes, it can be a really wonderful resource. And in the near future, and this is probably more in these nearby states to Connecticut, like I'm up to doing like an in-person version of these series. Kind of just looking to see how things are playing out. People are doing a lot more in-person resource fairs, like Fairfield SEFTA did one back in May. And a couple other, and the ASRC obviously had their big lock, so there's a demand that's coming back. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. And I would like, I'm a type where if I could drive for something that's like within at least 2 hours for a work reason, I absolutely would do it. Like a month ago, I actually drove to Massachusetts for a disability walk where I kind of vendored over there. So I was like, I'm a type where as long as there's a good benefit, and also mm-hmm. if I could set up a potential partnership, like I would do it. So this is kind of like probably a New England thing, because I imagine driving to other states that's further in the west side will eat up my gas way more than it should. I'm not sure how yeah. feasible that will be, but I'm always kind of looking into new treads and kind of what new paths I can take with this.
Yeah, and when you talk about doing an in-person version, would it cover as much information as the webinar, or would it be a shortened version?
Probably the same information, and it'd be up to me to kind of design the structure. If I want to do it like two topics, or I want to do three topics, it'll be up to me. And if I were to do it with an organization, I just have to kind of go over how that looks like, and the speaking fee, and kind of in case if they want to do a partnership on that. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the other details that I'm be coming up with, partnership options for places, especially driving school. So it's something that's coming up and to be really excited about.
No, and you know, I'm curious, you know, when I was kind of going through some of the courses, I was just curious, how did you come up with some of those particular topics? You know, how did you focus on those considering how big of a topic driving is?
I just kind of focus on what people most likely would want to know while driving. Financials, obviously, that's a big one. Police interactions, because technically in my own experience, I never got pulled over, and I'm not mm-hmm. counting my Southern Connecticut video when I was kind of like an actor, they filmed me. I'm not counting mm-hmm. that. You could. They had me break some driving rules, but it doesn't officially count. So technically, I have not be pulled over, which is good. I'll take it. But it's still a lot of information that's just really good. This driving situation is a big one. I get a lot of questions on the unwieldy drivers like all the time. I kind of base a lot of fun, not just my own experiences, but what I've heard from others too. Like I got a few ideas. I did a webinar with AENE in Massachusetts. I did one on a couple, like five things driving schools don't tell you. And I actually learned a bunch of new things from that. So I'm always kind of changing my materials around. And also because it falls better, because I like to try to pick up on anything that feels off when I do like a live zone and to kind of fix it to kind of make it better.
So if you were to think about a couple of things that you think is most important for new drivers who want to kind of take your webinar series, what are a couple of big takeaways before we kind of wrap up today?
Is that no matter where you go, if you had some success or if you had some failures, we want to help you obtain your license no matter what. And webinar series kind of covers a lot of topics, and we have like additional resources. Again, we have a free to download ebook. We have a blog page that's containing tuners ones. And also there'll be a post on sensory tools, one of my favorite blog posts I ever had to write. Like that one goes over tools that you could use that can address sensory needs. Again, it's one of my favorites. There's a lot of just great information and pretty much here to help, and expect a lot of new updates.
Andrew, I thought of another question while you and George were talking.
Yeah, sure.
Do you touch base at all, or have you have your own experience with the driving assessment? Because I know there are organizations
I have a slide that goes over that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on the Bringing It All Together. Again, I'm kind of changing the name to title of that, and I think mm-hmm. I also go over that in the IEP one, because technically mm-hmm. you can request that. But the whole idea of having free special education services, that's one of the things that goes into special ed in general.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's kind of a no-brainer, technically, and it could technically be applicable, so that's something that you can actually request. And also, driving schools do have that auction, too.
Right, okay.
Some driving schools do have a choice of that with a couple. Mm-hmm. You have to look at the driving school itself. Research is everything. Yeah, I kind of go over that one or two times.
Did you have your own experience with the driving assessment?
No, I could have. Mm-hmm. I just went to the regular driver's ed.
Awesome. So that's good to know. And I think I found some information on that I'm going to put in the show notes as well about different driving assessments that people could look into. But this was great. Andrew, thank you so much. Thank you for doing this for the community. I think it's just important information. I know all my years of doing advocacy work, it's come up a lot for parents, and they're just so nervous about it. So I think this is a great thing. I wish it was around when my son was getting his license. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us. We hope you enjoy the rest of your week and weekend.
Again, thank you. Thank you again for having me on here. And I think websites will be posted with the podcast, the mm-hmm. podcast link.
Absolutely. So all your information will be there.
Yep. And, I can also post my email later on, too.
Awesome.
Email, phone number, so I can get those. Oh, mm-hmm. and before I go, if parents that also just want to learn more about our services, they can schedule a free 15-minute consultation with me. It was a free 15-minute overview. I could also link that and of all the other links, too.
Perfect. Where they can we'll add all that.
They can like chat with me 15 minutes to just kind of go over that. And they can like learn a good overview of what to expect.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Again, thank you for having me here.
As always, you can find our podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the Starting website. On any Amazon or Alexa-enabled devices, you can ask Alexa to play 99% Effective Sarah Solutions podcast. And let us know what you want to learn more about. If you have an idea or topic, let us know. We would love to hear from you.